Good morning, Delaware. Boy, do I love being on a radio station that's all about me.
Thanks, Gage. My.
That's Gage on the board there. And, of course, Nicole Fowles. Good morning, Nicole. How the heck are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I stopped by Starbucks this morning. If you're listening live on Friday, it's Red Cup Day. That means the holiday Red Cups. If you go, you order a holiday drink, then you get your special Red Cup to keep. I was trying to explain it to George, and it's just a status symbol. It's a way for Starbucks to get you to spend a lot of money at the beginning of the season on a really expensive drink that you're probably not going to drink for the rest of the season, but you get the status symbol of the Red Cup.
I stopped at UDF and bought coffee this morning. So it's just our different approaches to coffee, I guess.
Mine's pretty good, though. I like it. I got the caramel brulee.
I got deep roast. That's just plain black coffee.
There you go.
Anyway, our guest today is Shannon Schilling, who is the Teen Services Librarian at the Delaware Library. Good morning, Shannon. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. I am excited to get my Red Cup after this.
I went to the one on 23 by Delaware, and they still had plenty when I was there at about 8 o'clock.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody, this show is brought to you by the
Friends of the Library. Yeah,
okay? Not Starbucks. Or UDF, for that matter. Anyway, I just want to mention Friends of the Library. Great supporters for the library, and this is the last day to order their holiday flowers. They got poinsettias of all different colors. They've got different types of plants. If you go to tinyurl.com/friendsflowers, both capital Fs on friends and flowers, it'll take you directly to the place where you can order, see the beautiful flowers, see the Whoville tree, which I love, which I'm going to have in my office shortly. And then you pick the flowers up on December 7th, Monday, December 7th, at the barn at Stratford. This is a joint fundraiser for the Friends of the Library and the Delaware County Historical Society. So please, if you know anything about not-for-profit organizations, you know we're all hurting this year because we haven't been able to do the usual fundraisers that we do. This is one fundraiser where you can actually get something really pretty for a really crummy year. Mm-hmm. I hope you'll take advantage of that.
And it's going to smell so good.
Oh, yeah. And it's just going to make your whole house, your office, wherever, feel a little more festive.
Yeah.
So what can be wrong with that?
Nothing.
Absolutely. All right. So, Nicole, what have you been reading?
I have an audiobook. I've kind of been going away from audiobooks a bit lately because I've had a little bit more time to actually sit down and read. But
and I'm not working you hard enough.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, don't say that in front of the boss. So I requested this book a long time ago, actually, and it just came up through Libby. That's where I requested it through, our digital service, Libby. You can download that app, connect your library card, and request and download as many books as you want, really, within our limits. So this book is called The 10,000 Doors of January. Ooh. This was an author debut by Alex Harrow, and it was released in September of 2019. And this is a book that I would recommend if you heard my discussion a while back, I think with maybe Hannah, of The Starless Sea, where we talked about The Starless Sea by Aaron Morgenstern. There are several other books. The Night Circus is another Aaron Morgenstern. Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan. This book has a whimsical, ethereal, kind of magical feeling to it. It's called a historical fiction fantasy. So what the story is it's about a young woman named January, and she's described as being ethnically ambiguous, basically. you get the feeling that maybe her father's from India. We never knew her mother, and she's living in an early 19th century America. Okay. And a man named Mr. Locke has basically added her to his collection. He likes to collect exotic things. And so as he meets January's father, he employs him to help him to diversify his collection. And then January becomes his ward, basically. And so he raises her and tries to teach her to be proper and things like that. And as she grows up, we learn that Mr. Locke is part of a society that tries to find all of these exotic things. And as we see January and Mr. Locke out and about, he's never immediately cruel to her. He's just not very fatherly. It's just she's his ward. He's just raising her. He he always, people will say, oh my goodness, and where did you get her from, you know? And he makes up stories like, oh, she's the last high priestess of the, you know, of the Appalachians. I don't know.
No, that's Dolly Parton.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Dolly. But yeah, he just, you know, makes up all of these exotic things that are ambiguously of where she is actually from. And she doesn't know either. So one day when she's a girl, she's not really happy with a place, a hotel that her father, Mr. Locke, whoever, has taken her to. And she escapes and she goes outside and she finds what kind of looks like a door hidden in the forest. And she, you know, is really, really hoping, like, what if I open this? It'll take me somewhere else. And she opens it. And of course, it's just the other side of the door. And so, wow, that's what a letdown, right? But she has a book. And so she's like, I'm going to write a story about what would have happened if I would have opened this door. And she sits down, she starts to write about what would have happened. And then she gets interrupted and she was like, well, maybe I'll try again. And she opens the door. And of course, on the other side at that point, then what she wrote is now what she sees. And so she is, you know, she's exploring this new area that she's found. It's a salty smelling, oceany, you know, city by the water with lots of white huts on hills. And when she can distantly hear someone calling for her, and it sounds like Mr. Locke. And she goes back through the door, and he wonders, where have you been? And why do you smell like this? And what's happening? And he has a look in his eye like he knows what's going on, like he might know a little bit about these doors and things like that. And so, of course, he locks her back in her room. She escapes again, goes back to find the door, and it's been burned to the ground. And so you kind of begin on this tale of what January is discovering with these doors, and could there be more of them? And of course, the story is called The 10,000 Doors of January. So
that kind of gives you a spoiler.
More. Yeah. There might be more.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's a really beautiful story. Again, Alix E. Harrow, this is her debut. I believe it's a she, A-L-I-X.
And is this meant as a YA or an adult novel?
It's an adult novel. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's her first. She does have a second novel that just came out this year that's called The Once and Future Witches. So I'm really impressed with it so far.
Sounds good. Shannon, what are you doing as far as reading, listening, binging on? What kind of stuff are you doing now?
Okay, so I just read this book that I've been recommending to everyone. here it is. I'll show you. Nicole can see it. It's called The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune. And I've been recommending it because it's such a classic, like escapism. Mm-hmm. And it's so happy and makes you feel good. And I just feel like it's the book that everyone needs in 2020. So it's about, it is a magical fantasy world, but it's very similar to our own, even though it has these magical creatures. And it's about this guy named Linus, who is he's a caseworker in the department in charge of magical youth. And what that means is that he travels to orphanages around the country and just kind of checks in on them to see how they're doing. And so he meets all these are kids who are, you know, they're magical. They have magical powers of some kind, or they're just a different species, I guess. There's a gnome, there's a monster, something. There's shapeshifters, and so these are kids that are, orphans at these magical orphanages. And he's not magical, but he goes and checks in on them and sees how the school or the orphanage is doing and, sees how the kids are doing. And so the whole story is that he goes to this one where it's a very special case, and he's chosen to go, and the department is very worried about this school for some other reasons that become clear, and he goes and investigates it and just falls in love with all of them. So it's about a lot of found family, this group of misfit kids and this like kind of curmudgeonly, like caseworker vibe. Just like, oh, it's just so good.
I don't know if this was maybe before or after your generation, but there was a cartoon when I was a kid called Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Did you know that? Or Gage, maybe? Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
Oh, man. I loved Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends was a cartoon. It kind of had that sweet little vibe to it.
Was it what it sounds like? You know, like you had an imaginary friend when you were little and then you don't have it anymore. They go off and live in this home?
Yeah.
What a great concept.
I know. It was really cute. It was one of my favorites.
So again, Shannon, what was the title and the author of this book?
The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune, K-L-U-N-E.
Thank you.
Thank you. That sounds like fun. So the book I read this month, or this week rather, is called Yes, I Can Say That. When They Come for the Comedians, We Are All in Trouble.
Uh-oh.
And it's by Judy Gold. Judy Gold is a comedian, writer, actress, TV producer. And she cites Joan Rivers and Phyllis Diller and Toadie Fields as being her comedic influences. But what she's writing about here is pretty serious. She's really appalled by attempts to censor comedians, especially the constant sniping and shaming on social media. And that can ruin a person's career in an instant and is especially hard on women comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So not just women comedians. Of course, it's also for singers. It's also for actresses. It's also for politicians. I mean, it's just... Social media is just a swamp. Anyway, with occasional little dry patches where things happen. Gold agrees with Richard Pryor, who once famously said, you can say anything that comes into your mind as long as it is funny. But she sees comedians as the truth tellers in our community. And if we censor that, we lose both a unique point of view and a safety valve.
Mm-hmm.
And she traces some of the more controversial and notorious comedians from the 20th century, like Lenny Bruce and Mae West and George Carlin, to show what they taught us. She uses great examples. The examples she pulls out are hysterical. And she does, you know, both her text and then she'll put in a comment from Lenny Bruce or a comment from George Carlin to make her point. And she stresses that comedians adopt personas and that most viewers or listeners can separate the person from the character they're playing.
Right.
Phyllis Diller was actually a very elegant, accomplished human being, but you'd never know that from what you saw on stage. Jack Benny was one of the most generous people in Hollywood, even though his reputation was being so cheap. Andrew Dice Clay is not the thick-skulled Cro-Magnon of his onstage character, and Bill Cosby turned out to be not exactly Cliff Huxtable.
Not quite.
But social media denizens, they tear into what comedians are saying, and they make it all very personal. And, like I said, can ruin somebody's career. She holds in special contempt people who think she thinks are overly sensitive, especially to jokes about trigger subjects. And this is where she and I split.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess it's because I'm not a professional comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try to do humor that ever attacks people at any level. It's just not my style. I'm big on self-deprecating humor and puns. That's not just what I am. But she creates what I feel are like really arbitrary rules for who can make what kind of jokes.
Mm.
And that just really, I think it hurts her argument.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is thoughtful, and of course it's outrageously funny. She does sample the best stand-up from the last 75 years to make her points. And she knows, or she's worked with, just about every great comedian of the last 30 or 40 years. So, yes, I can say that. It'll make you think. It'll make you laugh, and every now and then it may just make you mad. So it's just what good comedy should do.
Yeah, I think a good example of that will be if you watch Saturday Night Live, which I still do and I have since I was a kid every week, this weekend's host is Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Chappelle goes there with some of those topics, and I don't really prefer a lot of his stand-up because of it.
But he's also one of those people who had to go underground for a while because he'd been so battered on social media.
Yep.
And even by the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
You see that Louis C.K.?
Mm-hmm.
Who deservedly got, you know, pummeled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things where she kind of makes the differentiation, which I can see, what a comedian says in their act.
Yes.
As opposed to what they do in real life.
In their person. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a valid point, that you shouldn't attack the comedian for the jokes they're making.
Okay.
But somebody who's behaving really badly in real life, yeah, maybe those people you want to shame.
Mm-hmm.
But it's understand that when they're up on stage, they're doing an act. Mm-hmm. That's not them. If Louis Black was as mad as he always seems, he would have burst a blood vessel years ago.
He's the best.
And he is hysterical. He really is. So anyway, again, it's called Yes, I Can Say That by Judy Gold. We have it both in paper and as an audio CD. The audio CD is currently on reserve, but we've got copies of the book. So if it came out this July, and it's really worth a read if you care at all about freedom of speech and stand-up comedy. It's an interesting combination of both. We will be back with Shannon Schillings, who's going to be talking about our new Discord server and about some other things we're doing with teen services right now. So stay tuned. It's great to have Jim Rinaldi back because he has good weather forecasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. Jim brings the good weather.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jim.
Good to have him back. So anyway, welcome back to Off the Shelf. We are here with Nicole Fowles.
Hello.
And with Shannon Schilling, who is our teen services librarian at Delaware. Great to have you here, Shannon. So why are we introducing Discord into the library? Don't we have enough Discord in the world?
So we are talking about Discord, which is a free virtual hangout space. So it's a website.
Not
Discord that we typically think of. And typically it's been used for gamers, people who are into gaming, as a way for them to talk while playing their game. But recently, in the time of COVID-19, it's been used for libraries to create kind of like a virtual teen room, because teens really need, you know, that space in the library just to socialize with each other, that safe space where they can just talk to people with similar interests. So we created what's called a server that teens who are ages 13 to 17 can join and then just hang out with each other and with library staff.
We are losing the connection there with Shannon. We're trying to get it back right now. Wait a minute. Here she comes back.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Now we hear you.
Yes. Go ahead.
That's also part of the COVID-19 thing. We can't have everybody in the studio at the same time.
So yeah, it's just, there's a lot of different conversations happening about different things, you know, of teen interest, like anime, games. And then we also are using it for some programs. So Dungeons and Dragons is meeting in the Discord, I think twice a month now. And then we are doing, for the month of November, we're going to have some writing activities for the teens. So I can talk about that too.
Well, here, let's hold on the writing activities. We'll come to that in a second. So the Discord, right, is... Mm-hmm. It's essentially like a chat room, right? It's kind of a throwback to the early days of chat rooms.
Back when I was a kid.
Back in the day. But it is screened. So how do kids get on it? I know one way, and I know that we have ideas, Shannon, for another way too.
So in order to join, it's not just open to the public. We want to make sure that the people we're getting into the server are like who we want, you know, who we want it to be.
They're teens. Like actual Delaware County teens,
right?
Not random uncles from Canada. Like
exactly. So we have a Google form that teens just have to fill out to request to join, just as a way for us to keep track of who's in there. So the easiest way to get the Google form right now is to email me, I would say. That's sschilling@delawarelibrary.org. Schilling has a C, S-S-C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G. But hopefully soon we will have, we're working on maybe something on the website. There'll be something in our quarterly newsletter that comes out in December. So
yes,
there's going to be several ways.
You can also email just askus@delawarelibrary.org, and we'll make sure it gets to Shannon.
That's easy too. The other thing is, so you brought up the fact that there's some writing prompts. So what month are we in, Shannon? What's that mean?
So November is NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. This is something the libraries and have been doing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's an online challenge to write 50,000 words in a month in 30 days. So, and I was doing some research about this. I didn't actually know until yesterday that NaNoWriMo hosted authors drafting novels like Water for Elephants and Fangirl, mm-hmm. which are two very popular books.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyways, we are just encouraging maybe not to write the 50,000 words, but just to write something. We're encouraging the teens, you know, to get writing, to use their voice. So each week in November, we are going to have a different prompt that's posted in the Discord. And then they can write something to fill that prompt. They can submit it and get feedback. We have a staff member who is actually a published poet and fiction writer. So she offered to give her professional critiques. So so we'll have four weeks. Today, the first week, the prompt is about character building.
Okay.
So always important to have a good character in your story. So I thought if we had time, it would be kind of fun for you guys to, maybe you and Nicole and George could create a character together.
Ooh. Ooh, together. Okay.
All right.
Or separate.
So what are our prompts?
So I don't have the official prompts. Those will be posted later. But I know it's character building and basically just to think about, like, who is your character? You know, the basics, like, you know, age, gender, race, all those, like, demographics. But then also, like, to put them in just, like,
situations.
Kind of normal
yeah.
situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw one. I was looking up some character prompts today, and there was one that was just, like, what is your character eating for dinner tonight and why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a very normal situation. Where does your character work? You know, it's
okay.
Okay. We only have a couple of minutes, so we got to make this fast.
This is a speed character building.
Speed character building. Okay. Age.
25.
Gender.
Female.
Where does she work?
A publishing company in New York City.
Okay, and what is she doing tonight after dinner?
She is going on a date from a dating app.
And I think the person that she met on the dating app is actually not who she thought it was. It's somebody who lied about their dating app.
Here's your person.
That's my person.
That's your person.
He's actually 48.
Ooh, gender.
Male.
what's he do?
He is a web developer.
Okay. Why did he lie?
He lied because he's married.
Oh my God.
I think we have a short story.
I'm intrigued already. I want to know more.
Well, this is fun. Okay, just call Lee and Adam. We'll just take the next part of the show. Shannon, this is fun, and I'm glad. One other thing we should mention about the Discord server is the teens have to have parental permission in order to be part of it. So this really is not the Wild West. This is a much more monitored and kind of chaperoned almost site. So kids are free to share information about stuff they enjoy and that sort of thing. But this is not a site for bullying or trolling or anything like that. So just wanted to make that point in case anybody was concerned about that.
Yep.
Thank you, Shannon, so much. Thanks for getting us now we got a short story we got to write.
All right. We'll co-author it.
I do want, before we get off here today, I do want to mention again the Friends Flower Sale.
Yes.
This is the last day. You've gotten to the end of the day. And I want to thank our friends at Fort Myer. They have been wonderful to work with. They've been very cooperative in giving us a wonderful selection of things that we can offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, help support the Friends of the Delaware County District Library and the Delaware County Historical Society by going to tinyurl.com/friendsflowers. And that's capital F on both friends and flowers. And buy yourself some nice poinsettias or other kinds of plants for the holidays. So what else we got coming up this week?
Well, I want to give a shout out to, we have a brand new podcast that is joining our podcast channel. So wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Google, Apple, Podbean, which is what we use, or anything else like that, look for Off the Shelf with Delaware Library, and you'll get any of our shows. We have What to Read Wednesdays with Annie's. We have Library Guys Go to the Movie with Luke. We have this show, which has our archives on it. There's a brand new one called Trivia Showdown coming, and this is a trivia competition within Delaware Library staff members for the big trophy of greatest trivia person ever. I don't know. That's basically. Kellen's doing it. It comes out on Wednesday.
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. Exactly. So, yep.
Cool.
It comes out on Wednesday.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Let's see. Then we appreciate our support from the Friends of the Library. Thank you very much, Gage, for running the board and keeping us on track with Shannon on Skype. Shannon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Nicole, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And we will see you in the stacks.